y'all. Once again, we are back.
We're back.
Yes, episode number
11.
11.
So weird to say that.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Episode 10 was a great episode. Spoke about a lot, you know, in episode 10. Had a real good conversation about some topics that I think have really transitioned into some other things. Because now I'm getting asked about allowance.
What are the people saying?
Go figure. Hey, do you think I'm old enough to get allowance?
Who's asking?
Do you think I should get allowance?
To your kids?
Well, my 14, yes.
Huh? Wait, so what your old has seen the pod?
Huh?
Has he seen the pod?
No, he didn't see it. So I don't know where that came from.
Oh,
I don't know where that came from.
So it's just the timing happens to be.
His mom might have seen it. And she'd be like, oh, well, ask your dad. He's talking about allowance. Go ask him.
So how did that conversation come about?
Well,
how'd it go?
Again, I'm the parent. I don't want to be the bad guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding myself become more considerate. I'm learning to compromise more.
Okay.
So, you know, I said I would give it thought. I didn't agree to anything, but I said, you know what, I'll give it some thought. Maybe you can get a few dollars.
Are you actually giving it thought, or is this one of those, I'm going to think about it, but you're not really thinking about it, you're just...
I think the more I talk about it, is the more I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
Because it's just be on the forefront of my mind, and I'm sure he's not going to forget about it, so he's going to continue to ask me about it. Mm. And the more he asks me about it, the more I'm going to be pushed to make a decision. So I think at some point we'll come to common ground.
You got to give it a deadline. You can't just in all perpetuity let me think about it. No, you got to give it a deadline.
Well, that's the thing about being a parent. You're always busy.
So?
You're always busy.
So?
You forget a lot more than you remember.
Put it on the calendar.
Yeah. I could.
I mean, I'm saying.
I could. You know. But we'll revisit that conversation at some
point. Please keep us posted.
Hey, son. Nah, but it's been a great week so far. I was talking to somebody the other day about a situation, and it was crazy because I'm out at this subdivision where these townhouses are.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of different townhouses, and they're all kind of close together. So I pull up in the, it's not really a cul-de-sac, but it's, you know, it's a little dead end. Right. So I pull up in this area, and so where I was going is probably about 4 or 5 houses down. So I kind of slowed up because as I look to the left, I see a little kid kind of come from behind the car. And he had to have been no more than maybe 3 or 4, if that.
So it's little.
Very little. Very little. But he's, you know, he's walking, kind of running around. So I see him, and I immediately go into parent mode. I'm like, okay, well, where's
your parents?
Where's your parents?
Yeah.
So I see him kind of running around, and he has his stick in his hand and kind of dashes out in the street. So I stop immediately because I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, but no, I don't want any problems here.
Right.
So I stop, and as I stop, I'm just kind of watching him, and he's running around, and he starts to run towards my truck.
Why?
And he's coming towards my truck, and I'm still looking like, yeah, dude, where's your parents
now,
at? Like,
now, is he like friendly? Is he curious? Like,
I mean, he's just like a joyful, playful. Right. He's just like, but he's coming to the truck like he knows me. I don't know you.
Right.
So, again, I'm just kind of looking, surveying, looking for the parents. Don't see nobody. I see this guy who's standing on the sidewalk, and he's looking at him, too. So, at this point, me and him kind of lock eyes, and he's like,
who's this kid?
Like, I don't know him. I don't know him either. Wow. So, the kid comes up. Again, I'm sitting in the truck, so I'm in the driver's seat. He comes to the passenger side. the back door, my back door, on the passenger side. He grabs the door
Are
handle,
you
like he's
serious?
trying to get in the car. So I'm like, I'm really like, what is going
There's
on
no
here?
stranger danger, no.
No, nothing. But also, there's no parents.
What?
So
Oh
I'm just
my
sitting in the
gosh.
car and I'm like, yo, this is crazy right now. So
Yes.
after he figured out, I guess he like I can't get in his car,
Right.
he goes back towards the sidewalk and he's just kind of moseying down the sidewalk, just
Like
going down.
nothing.
So I'm like,
Pure
yo, where
bliss.
is this kid's parents?
So then what happened?
So I pull up a little bit and I kind of park. So at this point I get out and I'm kind of standing on the sidewalk, and by this time he's going down the sidewalk. So he's about five, six houses down now,
Still by
still
himself.
by himself, just moseying on down. So I asked the guy, I said, hey man, you know which kid that is? Like, who? He's like, I don't know. I don't even live out here. I said, so by this time a lady comes out and she's walking her dog, and he asked her, he said, hey ma'am, do you know this kid? Like, look at this little kid. He's on the sidewalk. She's looking, she's like, oh my God, no, I don't know who that is. So
So three adults,
three
one
adults,
kid,
one kid,
but not
but
the
not the
adult that's
parents.
supposed to be in charge.
Right. So at this moment now, because again, this is probably about maybe 15, 20 minutes, we're
Yeah.
just trying to figure all this out.
That's a long time.
Another
15,
lady
20
comes
minutes.
out, and mind you, it's middle of the day, so it's pretty hot.
Yeah.
The other lady comes out, and the guy asks her, because by now he's going down towards the kid. He asks the lady, hey, do you know this kid? She's like, nah, but she sprints down and she runs and go gets the kid and bringing him back up. She's holding his hand or whatever. So at this point, everybody's pretty much confused
Yeah.
because we don't know who this kid is. We don't know where he lives. We don't know who his
And he's
parents
still
are.
in pure bliss,
And he's just
like,
outside. And
yeah.
not to mention, he's barefoot.
Are you serious?
He's barefoot. Now he got on clothes, but he's
He's
barefoot.
barefoot. You think
So
Yeah, questions.
at this very moment, now, like I said, this lady is walking him back up. And I don't know if because of the commotion, his parents heard or they figured out, hey, look, my child's not in the house. So now they come outside. And I don't even know what apartment they came out of. But they come outside and get him. Well, by now, when the lady's walking him back up, they're coming outside. I guess they kind of meet each other.
There's a total of how many adults now?
It's like four adults,
Wow.
this kid, and then, 20 minutes later, his parents come outside. So at this point, now I didn't got back in my truck because I'm standing there like just floored by this whole situation. So I get back in the truck and I'm backing out of the parking space. And as I'm going back the opposite way, the parents have now, this mom and dad, so they're now, the dad, no, I think the mom was holding the kid and the dad's walking beside him. And the dad looks over at me as I'm driving by and he says, but there was no
Nobody was freaking out.
there was no urgency. There was no oh my gosh, man, what were you doing? Why were you out? There was none of that.
Like, you think that was just the norm? Like, that's just
It was just a crazy situation
our son
at that time.
around the neighborhood.
Just listen, we know about the tragic things that can happen, children being taken, and all this. Again, as a parent, it's scary
Very.
because for those 15, 20 minutes, did you not have an idea that your kid was not where you left them or where
Kid
they
could
were
have been
supposed to be?
gone, hurt. Somebody could have hit the kid.
And again, he was maybe three,
Yeah.
maybe.
But that hit harder for you because,
Yes, because I, listen,
yeah.
if my son is too quiet, I'm,
Like,
yo,
what's
what
going
you
on?
doing?
Yeah.
Like, what's up? What are you, because I, in my mind, you're getting into something.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out where you are. So again, just seeing that was, I was totally floored by it. And then the lack of response by the dad. And
And the mom too. Like, what was their to overall demeanor? That's all I
it was
got.
just like,
No skin.
yeah, okay. It was walking calm, like I said, mom was holding him, but
I don't think that's the first
it
time.
was just
I have a
calm.
feeling it's not the first time.
Like, how does he get out without you knowing? I was just, yeah, that was just crazy situation. And it's the
And
things that you see,
these
just
townhouses, they have little backyards and stuff, little gates
I don't
and
know. I mean, I'm sure they do, because like I said, they're like
yeah.
little small like townhouses or whatever, so I'm pretty sure there's a backyard area, not big, but I just know that, hey, to me, this was a highlight of, look at the community support. Because even though that wasn't their kid or my kid or
They
whatever,
were all
they were
concerned.
still concerned
Yeah.
and were asking and like, hey, look, do you know what's
So,
going on? So I think that was super important to know that people still have a heart to be concerned about things.
yeah.
Even when you have people nowadays that will look at a situation like, well, that ain't my kid.
Right.
Like, I ain't gonna get involved because that ain't my kid. So,
Because
but
people are crazy. It's like, oh, I'm not gonna hold this kid's hand. Oh no.
I just thought that was like
It's wild.
utterly insane. I'm
Just
like,
the
yo.
fact that there's no instinct of stranger danger. Usually a kid will be like, oh, I don't know you.
He came right up to my truck and grabbed the door handle like he was trying to get in the car. And I'm like, yo,
See?
wait a minute.
Kids are comfortable.
Like, oh man, it's been an eventful week.
I bet
It's been an
it is.
eventful week. Man, goodness gracious. What
It's
about you?
it's been a really good week. I know we last week we talked about, parents being proud and stuff. So I, we all process things differently. I'm a dual processor. I will internally process and then verbally process. So 2 days after we recorded, and I'm like, man, I really don't, I'm trying to recall a time the parents have said something about them being proud about me, proud of me or just something. I'm
Your
thinking,
parents.
yes.
Okay.
I don't know why I keep, I'm like, I'm sure they've said it. I don't want to misrepresent. I don't want to misspeak. And I had a moment where I'm like, man, I really don't think they've ever said it. And I started to feel kind of sad in a way. It was almost like, I don't know, I just started to feel sad. Then I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as it was in a very matter-of-fact way. Go check your Facebook. Go check your Facebook birthday post. It wasn't like mean or corrective. It was like, go check it. And I found a post that I had missed from my mom for my birthday. Because I'm
How
like,
long ago was this post?
where have I just a lot? This is March.
Okay.
So I had to translate it because she wrote it in Spanish.
Now read a little bit in Spanish. I just want to hear it.
What?
I just want to hear it. That's listen, for the last couple of days, for the last couple of days, I've been listening to some Bad Bunny, and the music is in Spanish.
Excuse me.
And I have no idea what he's
Which
saying.
album?
I don't
Does it have a chair with the green leaves in the back?
know. I
What does the cover look like?
so it wasn't even like the whole album, it was just like a specific song. So this song,
Oh, my Latino people are probably cracking up right now.
listen, they probably are. Because and I'm gonna tell you the crazy thing, right? I'm in a restaurant and it's playing on the so I'm in a Mexican restaurant.
Out of all places,
And it's playing on the
they're
thing.
playing Puerto
And I say,
Rican
yo,
music.
oh, I like this.
I
I
bet you it's the
immediately pull
biggest
my
album.
phone out and Shazam it.
Okay,
So
so
this is the song right here.
no, that's not the latest.
Listen, that song right there, been listening to it ever since. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
But I love the song.
Well, side note, he's somebody who really try to capture the generational things. He with the latest album, he tried to close that generational divide with the grandparents and the kids and passing down history and things like that. So that's why we're hearing a lot about him because he did just that.
I like it. I like it.
But yeah, so she wrote it in Spanish. He's like, I can't believe I missed this.
How'd it make you feel?
It was one of those things that God used to to teach me something a little further. I want to expound on a little bit, but I want to read what she said. She says, "Today I celebrate with gratitude the day that the Lord blessed me with your life." She said, "From the moment that you arrived, you've been an invaluable gift. You are an exceptional daughter and a woman of great character. I am proud," so she said it, "I am proud in seeing in you how you are a professional who's dedicated, an exemplary leader in your church, and above all, a woman that profoundly loves the Lord. Your passion for the Lord and your dedication to his kingdom are a great testimony that is very powerful, and his grace is over your life. You are a light, an inspiration, and a blessing to everybody who surrounds you. And I pray that this year, God may grant you favor, divine favor, open doors and new opportunities so that you can continue to impact lives. May the Lord strengthen you, guide you, and fill you with his peace with every step that you take. Happy birthday, my princess." Well, she's never called me that. "I love you with all my heart." And then she says, "And your dad does too." I
Come
was like, you know, in that moment, I was, you know, firstly, it's like, thank you, Holy Spirit, because, you know, the enemy just really messes with our minds. He's constantly going to try to deceive us, and you're terrible at parenting, you're a terrible child, you know, just all of these things. And it's like, no, your parents have never told you they're proud of you. Holy Spirit is like, go check out your post. And it's like, oh, mom said that. I don't know how I missed it. But it touched my heart. Touched my heart. And God reminded me that the enemy not only tries to divide marriages, he tries to split the relationship between the parent and child. We constantly see that. Other than marriages being divided, what other relationship do we see being divided the most?
Three.
It's parent to child. And I think when we went to the conference in April, one of the things they said is the Old Testament ends with God saying, "Hey, I'm going to send somebody who's going to restore and bring back the heart of the child to their father." And he begins the New Testament in Luke first saying, "Hey, I'm bringing the heart of the child to the father." And it's almost like this, I don't call it demonic, but it's this demonic influence to try to divide the family. It's the parents don't know anything, or I don't understand my kids. Kids are bad. It's always this divide, and it's like I'm asking the Lord why.
Why? What? Why is there a divide?
Like, why? Why does the enemy try so hard to divide the relationship, split the relationship between a parent and a child?
Of course, so he can control them. If I can divide you, then one of you is going to be least willing to fight off whatever I the temptation that I'm going to provide you to lead you away.
Yeah, but he doesn't try as hard to divide friendships, divide coworker relationships, not.
Because for what? Why would I divide a friendship? Like, because there's no guarantee that y'all gonna be friends forever anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I know it says in the end of time there will be division between parent and child. So I think it's super important now more than ever to then now, I mean, it's caused me to now be vigilant that. As maybe there's conflict with the kids or disagreement. Yeah, it could be them being hard-headed, but could it be the enemy trying to divide? Even at my grown age, it's like, oh, really, your parents have never said, you know, they're proud of you, and that's a lie. There was like the opportunity for division in a way.
Why do you think that that was on your heart that they never had told you that?
So we were talking about it. I was trying to think really hard of a time that they said that. I'm like, there are clues that they are proud. But I'm like, I don't think they've ever said it. And it was like, that's the truth. Mama just wrote a whole.
Passage. Shout out to moms.
Yeah.
Very, very heartwarming there. Kind of like the message my mom wrote me. When you read something like that and you kind of take that and you internalize that a little bit, what do you now think about your parents? Or how do you now look at them? And what light do you look at them now as opposed to when you looked at them before?
I think, and even as Todd, I thought, like, man, you guys are really hard on we were pretty sheltered. And like, nah, we don't listen to this kind of music. We don't want, I mean, very, very sheltered. And I'm like, why do we have to be like this? And I didn't get it. But I think, and I might have to ask them, like, what did you see in me that you felt like you needed to guard me to such a degree? Because you weren't like this with my sisters. It was me. My sisters got it, but not as much as me. But for me, that meant a lot because although they've never set an expectation for me, we talked about this. I felt like I failed them in decisions that I made. And to know, like, you know what? I'm seeing these things in your life and I'm proud of you. I still feel like I failed them. But it's like, okay. Yes, okay.
I think, kind of going back to what you said, like, you've never heard them. Well, when you were saying before, hey, I never can't remember a time when I heard them say that, hey, I'm proud of you. Was there a time where you ever heard them say, hey, you failed me?
No, I did not. I knew they cringe really hard when I got married to somebody that they didn't agree with. Like it was, I go back to the day that I left their house and they're like, we don't agree with it. And knowing that 15 years later, they never said I told you so, but they didn't need to. They knew that I felt the weight of that mistake. I just like, yeah, I failed at not listening to you guys the first time. And they didn't have to say it.
What do you say to the parent who, because there's a parent right now that expects their child to follow every direction. Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to go here. I want you your life to be like this. I want to map out everything for you because I'm the parent.
Yeah. Know that you are not God. You can't write your children's story. What you need to be concerned with is instilling values and making sure that you are teaching your child to, yes, giving them principles and skills to navigate the world, things like AI, how to find a job, like practical things. But above all else, teach them to bring their plans and submit it to the will of the Father because no matter what, God's hand will be over their life. You don't fully know what God's plan is for their lives. And we don't. You can have, you know what, I wish I could see my child do this. I wish this my child, but you can't. You're not God. You're not writing anybody's story. Stop trying to take his place. Yeah, I've seen those kind of parents.
There are a lot
Lots.
of them out there. I just think that you have to give your kids room to be their own person. Mean, yes, be the example, but there's no guarantee that they're going to follow their example. But still give them guidance and instill certain principles and just hope that, hey, you take heed to those things and you live out a life that is fulfilling to you, that is led by keeping him centered. But again, and I say this all the time, I can't live your life.
No, and the reality of it is our children may be called to something completely different and unrelated to what we have been called to. And I think I talked about this in other episodes before. I think of John the Baptist. He came from a lineage of priests. So it's like your grandfather was a priest, you're going to be a priest. Like your dad was a priest, you're going to be a priest. Your children will be a priest. And no, God called him for something completely different. To live in the wilderness, baptize people, and make the way for Jesus Christ. It's completely different. Moses, you think there were any other liberators, leader of the people in his family? No. It's called for something completely different. And that's okay.
Very, very eventful week.
Yeah.
lot of things happen, a lot of good things happen.
Indeed. I can't believe we're half, it feels like we're halfway through the summer break, but it feels like they just started their summer break.
Summer really doesn't start until like end of June, so we're right in the midst of summer.
But it feels like back to school is lingering, like right here.
But yeah, because I think every year almost it's like they're going back earlier and earlier. My 14-year-old, he goes to an academy, so they are already back at school. But they go back to school for a couple of weeks and then they get out and then they go back again with everybody else. So
Right, so he's in school now.
he's in school
Ooh, how's he feel about that?
now. At first, he's been going to that school since he was in sixth grade. He's in ninth grade now. So at first, he was a little uneasy about it because, like, hey, look, you're taking away from my summer. I can't enjoy and have no time,
Joy.
family, friends, or whatever. So I mean, he's gotten adjusted now, and it doesn't really bother him. He actually kind of looks forward to it because he's like, okay, let's get it going. I'm ready to go.
So as he's gone, as he's gone back during the summer, is he technically now in ninth grade, or like has he had his first day of high school yet?
So yeah, so now that he's back in school, he's technically a ninth grader. So he is definitely in that high school phase now, and he's starting to, I guess, internalize that ninth grade mindset. But he's enjoying it. He was pretty excited about starting high school. So I'm definitely excited for him and ready to see, what comes of it. Because I remember high school, man, ninth grade was everything.
Yeah, it's almost
Grade
like
was everything.
you're trying to figure it out. Because you got to find your place in the place.
Well, yeah, I started ninth grade in a totally unfamiliar place because I left Virginia after middle school and started ninth grade in a whole new state in Georgia. So I didn't know anybody. I was brand new. Yeah, it's definitely different finding your footing in that as opposed to being where you're from and you've been going
Right,
to
with your
school with the same
friends
people
from
for
middle
the,
school
yeah.
too.
So, but I think those were one of my, well, that's one trait that I've always kind of held as in high regards that, hey, kind of put me anywhere. I know how to fit in and mesh and make friends and
You adapt well to different environments.
very
We've
much so.
talked about this before.
Very much so. Very much so.
Adaptability is a great skill to have.
Very much so. Very much so. And you can't teach
No.
that. That's a learned
I was gonna
skill.
say you get that by experience.
You can't teach that. So I've always
It's a
kind of had
mindset
that.
too.
And even as an adult now, just going into different spaces and different rooms, being able to, immerse myself in there and leave with something more than what I came with. So,
Just adapting on the fly.
absolutely, absolutely. But look, we got a great show lined up for you guys today. Definitely appreciate you for joining us here at the Parenting Next Gen show, where we help parents, build that confidence to strengthen the relationship
One conversation at a time.
one conversation at a time.
I'm like, why does this ring a bell for me?
What's that?
The whole one conversation at a time. And I listen, I guess this must be my call because I've been doing radio podcasts since little, since my teens.
Okay.
I went to a radio station with my parents and stuff, but one of the podcasts that I did is called Powerful Conversations with Noed. And I started it because I'm like, there is such power in conversations, all the miracles we see in the Bible and the change in lives, it all leads from or stems from a place of a conversation. Humanity was created via a conversation. It's let's create man. So it just lets me know that there is power in conversation. There's power in the transformation in our relationship with our kids. So
1,000%.
that's why I think that that's the part that of that phrase hits me the most. One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time. Because, I mean, it's just so relatable. And I think as people, as well as parents, we figure that, man, I gotta do all these things and I gotta do it right now. Like I gotta get it all done right now. Very cliche to say, but it's so true. Rome wasn't built in a day. It wasn't. So, hey, sometimes I gotta take bits and pieces, right? Best way to eat an elephant is one piece at a time.
I don't know, that phrase just makes me
Yeah,
laugh every time.
it just sounded good. Sounded good in the moment.
That phrase just sounds awful. I think it's the visual. It's just like, oh gosh.
But, just taking your time with things, especially when dealing with teens and young adults, as well as with parents, right? We don't get it all right the first time. It takes multiple times or chances or, whatever. So,
It's relational
yeah.
at the end of the day. I mean, you can tell the child to go do X, Y, and Z, and they'll probably have to do it, but you want their heart at the end of the day. You want them to trust you. You want them to see you as wise counsel, not just now, but forevermore. Whether they're
Absolutely.
40, 50, that they can see, yeah, I can confide in my parent. I can trust in their wisdom. Even in the midst of their humanity, I can trust in your wisdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there ever a time where there ever a time where your kids felt that they couldn't trust you? Do you know?
I don't think they've ever expressed that, but I think they knew that once I was in the midst of trying to figure out how to get us to safety, I think they knew I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to figure it out on the fly. Because it's hard, you're trying to figure out how do I still fight for a marriage because that's what you're supposed to do, but also trying to get my children to safety. That's a very hard decision to make. But I know that now. They do. And I do converse with them a lot on decisions that I've had to make, projects I'm working on, or whatever. And I explain, hey, I'm doing this because of X, Y, and Z. They're like, okay. Pivots that I've had to make, even recently. It's like, hey, we're about to make a huge pivot in this household. And it was like, okay. Like, they were just so cool, very matter of fact. Like, that lets me know there is that trust. Like, even in my humanity, because I don't always get it right, they know.
Lot of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of my best decisions are made on the fly.
Really?
My
So how does that
best
differ
decisions.
between planning it out?
So, I mean, planning, you have a lot more time to really map it and strategize it. But, with anything, it's not always guaranteed to work. You can map it to a T and it's still goes left. So, some people are more planning before they do anything. Some people like to jump right in and just, hey, look, I'm gonna grow wings on the way down.
So you're more of a on the fly type of person.
More on the fly type of person, right? I'm going to figure it out because the way that my mind works is it's gonna work out. There's nothing that tells me it's not.
Sure.
So my belief is just that strong in him as well as in myself that look, I got everything that I need to make it work.
Yeah, but at what point do you say, if you ever get to that point, do you say, I know I can make that decision on the fly, but there's order that precedes it. These steps need to be done and mapped out accordingly for this particular decision.
Well, it just depends on what it is.
Okay.
I mean, if it's something that, hey, yeah, that you need to plan, 2, 3 months ahead or a week ahead or whatever it is, yeah, hey, you sit down, map out a strategy to it. But see, what happens a lot of times, people sit and map out something and they never actually get started with the thing that they've been strategizing about. They just stay in the mapping phase. Or they stay in the, oh, I'm still figuring it out, and they never make a move.
And then when they do make a move, more than likely they're tied and married to the plan, giving no room to other possibilities, other doors opening, giving room for the move of the Holy Spirit and whatever you're planning to do. I think it just comes down to risk assessment. Like you just have to decide on, in wisdom, which one's riskier, which one's not, and what risk are you willing to take? And worst case scenario, if that risk is it's a risk, your life is a risk. It's a risk assessment.
Totally agree. Totally agree. So, like I said, I think some of my best stuff is done typically on the fly.
Does that extend to your parenting as well? Or do you, because you could have made a decision on this whole allowance thing on the fly, but no, you're letting it simmer.
Well, a lot of my stuff is I use the thought-provoking approach. Now, my question is, hey, what do you feel that you deserve allowance for? Because I want you to actually think about, hey, if I'm asking for something, what I'm looking to receive has to be equivalent to what I'm giving. So,
I don't know.
my approach in parenting is I don't like to just be I don't like things to just be easy. Like I can give you some money, but do you know what to do with the money? Do you know what you're like? Did you do anything for the money? Because in the interim, now, and I've seen this with my older kids, if I just give you money, I'm just enabling you to ask me more and more.
So you're basing it in a way, risk assessment based on prior historical data.
The data will always tell you what you need to know. And again, just using case by case example, like I said, my older kids.
That's a hard one because you have the historical factor, but at the same time, it's like, does everything that you provide, like in this case, i.e. allowance, does it have to be because you deserve it? At what point do we say, you know what, I'm going to be extend grace and gift this versus you having to earn it?
Well, I'm a forward thinker, and I'm always looking to the notion of, like I said before, hey, I can give you these things right now, but what happens when I'm no longer here? Who's going to give you things? Because nobody's going to step up and take the place of me and just want to give you things. So the quicker or the earlier I can put you in position to figure out how to earn things and create things for yourself, there'll never be a time when I'm no longer here that you'll be looking for somebody to give you something.
Doesn't that put him in a place that, hey, every good thing then now has to be earned? Now this is a performance-based thought process that we're instilling in a way?
Is there anything that you've ever done that hadn't didn't have to be earned?
Absolutely.
Like what?
I'm gonna go spiritual, my salvation. And there are things that even today I'm asking the Lord, and I'm not deserving, but I would like this. Some of it he grants, some of it he doesn't. But
So,
it is the honesty of saying I don't deserve it. But I desire this.
but if you don't deserve it, then you haven't earned it.
I don't need to earn everything that I'm being given by my father. There are times that as a father, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to give you this because it's going to corrupt your heart. It's going to ruin your humility. He's done that many, many times. And there are other times where he's like, you know what? It pleases me. You didn't earn a thing, but it pleases me to gift you this.
I'm not saying that that's wrong.
And I'm And I'm aware of that. Like, thank you. I didn't deserve it at all. But I'm grateful. And knowing that, hey, I can freely come and ask my father. Same thing with my parents, earthly parents. I can ask them for things. Doesn't mean I deserve them. They may grant them, they may not. But it doesn't hurt to ask. I think it's the entitlement. As long as I come with a humble heart, knowing that, hey, I'm not entitled to what I'm asking, I understand I'm not deserving. It's a heart matter.
And I'm not entitled to give it.
That's true.
I think it's, you know, kind of looking at it from both sides. Not entitled to give it, but hey, if you earn it, I have no problem granting you.
But do you ever get concerned that it instills this whole performance-based mindset where everything now has to be deserved and earned versus some things are freely given to you because there's love in the midst or there's grace in the midst?
So I'm raising Black men.
Okay.
And as a Black man, things that I do is based on performance.
Okay.
So for me, yes. To answer your question, yes. That's, again, that's the outlook of the world on men in general. Hey, if you look at a lot of the conversations based around men and dads, it's based on performance. Like, what are you providing for the house? How are you taking it? All that's based on performance.
Is that culture speaking or is that vibe?
I would think it's culture speaking. So,
but don't get me wrong. We all have responsibilities and roles and things that we need to be doing. Like,
when you say, is that Bible speaking? What in reference? What do you mean?
Because I know the world will always try to echo a louder voice as to how we're raising our kids, and even what the expectations are of us parents. World will always try to be loud. So, as you're saying, like, you know, the world is saying, or you're saying, you know, men gotta do this, men gotta do that. Well, who's saying these things?
So, is the Bible not saying that as men of being head of the household, you must provide for your family?
But this is what I'm saying. There are things that, yes, we ought to do. There are certain responsibilities that we have. But that whole performance-based mentality, where is that coming from? Who is echoing that sentiment?
Well, in a lot of the conversations, it's referencing from the Bible. Because, hey, you're supposed to be the man. You're supposed to do these things. You're supposed to provide. You're supposed to take care of this. You're supposed. So, again, it's referencing from there.
Right.
But as it leads more into culture, now the world is taking it and giving their own interpretation.
Right. We all have things that we are supposed to do. And I'm not disagreeing with that. Right. And as women, as we are things we are supposed to be doing. But is there ever room to, hey, yes, you earn this. Yes, you have to work for this. But there's also room to receive what you don't deserve.
Give me an example of receiving something you don't deserve.
I mean, when people want to gift things, or, I mean, even forgiveness in certain regards, I even think of my house that I got. I don't deserve that, but the way God worked that out, you know, it's a gift. It's, I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't, as a child, I failed a whole lot.
You know. So do you think he's looking at your failures as a kid and saying that, hey, you don't deserve a house to put you and your family
in? I'm not saying he's looking at my failures, but if everything is performance based, I mean, does that now, okay, do I now have to pray a certain amount of hours? Do I now need to seek him a certain amount of hours? Like, what are we talking about here? What if I didn't read the word a day? Does that now, you didn't work hard for this? I don't know.
I think everybody has, you know, kind of their own interpretation how God looks at certain things as far as what you've done or what you haven't done in your life. I think by, again, doing with the things that he's entrusted you with,
Right.
by managing those things and protecting and taking care of those things and doing what you need to do to keep going and still abiding and following his word and his lead, you are still doing the work. Granted, hey, along the way, you might have slipped off track a few times here and there, but as we all say, he's a forgiving God. So,
Yeah.
I don't think he's looking at those things because nobody's perfect. They're not gonna always get it right. But again, there are people who aren't doing the work at all. They're not doing anything.
That's true.
And a
It's
lot of
the whole other
times,
extreme.
right. And I've even seen people say that, say this at times where like, well, why them and not me? Why did they get that? And, I mean,
Instead of running their own race.
and that's all you can do.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
I guess I just worry that sometimes doing that performance-based love towards our children will, it number one, create an imposter syndrome in times of favor, kind of like, well, I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve to be in this room. And it just happens to be an open door. And number two, when they do receive, will they now reject things? I guess it goes back to favor. Like, what do you do when, how do you then accept, or how do you teach them to accept favor and humility when it's favor is granted? Because favor, you, when you give favor, you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it.
So, just kind of listening to what you're saying, to me, it's more of a mindset thing. Like, because what are you telling yourself that you don't deserve? Like, listen, if God put me here, I didn't put myself here. God put me here. Everything I get, I deserve. I deserve everything that's coming to me because either I manifested it or I worked for it or whatever. I deserve everything that's coming to me. So I'm not thinking about what I don't deserve. Well, I don't want that because I don't deserve it. If it's coming to me, it was meant, whether if it was coming from somebody else or however it came, I deserved it. And it could have been from something I did 5 years ago.
So I'm asking for clarity. Just asking for clarity. So if a door opens and now you are in a room where it's like God opened that door. So you're thinking, what you're saying to your point is, you did something at some point to deserve to be in that room. It
Absolutely.
wasn't that God, out of his goodness, said, you know what, you don't deserve it, but it is in my will for you to be in present in this room this time.
So I'm not saying that God doesn't say that, but God could have said that 10 years ago. God could have said, hey, look, you deserve to do this, and I'm going to put people in place because maybe that was your prayer. Maybe you said, hey, you know what, God, I really want this. And but God says, you know what? I'm going to put it here. I'm not going to give it to you right now, but I'm going to put it here. But I'm going to put things along the way to see if that prayer is what you really want. So now, fast forward 10 years later, you get that thing that you prayed for. You're like, oh man, God. No, God had already given it to you. He just wanted to see, hey, did you really want what you said you wanted?
Yeah, but the deserving means you worked for it. So, what I'm trying to understand your point, I just want to confirm that I'm understanding it correctly. When we're praying for something, we ought to also work to deserve the answer to the prayer.
1,000%. Absolutely. Absolutely. Faith without works is dead. Like there's
I agree that I that's Bible. I'm just thinking like, hey, I can work towards something and position myself to do what I can in my humanity, but there's a lot to me, that's my opinion. There's a lot of doors that God will open because it is in his will, his plan, and how he's placing you to use your gifting and what he's created you for has nothing to do with what I have done or what I have earned or what I have deserved is simply a part of this plan that's way bigger than me.
So a part of his plan, because you just said a few minutes ago, using your gifting. Who gave you the gift?
But I didn't earn it. It's a gift.
But who gave it to you?
God did.
Okay, he gave it to you to do what? He didn't give it to you to not use it. So you used it. And as you were using it, you were impacting people, or you were doing things along the way, the work that now, hey, opened up that door for you to walk into.
But it wasn't that I deserve it. He simply, out of the goodness of his heart and what he decided to write in history, hey, this is what I wrote in this part of history. I need you here. It had nothing to do with me earning and deserving to be there. It's just a part of his plan.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't
we're
know.
Saying the same
it's
thing.
Not, I was asking for clarity. I'm just.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
But. I like I said, with my kids, you know, it's more of a mindset thing. Okay. It's not that you don't deserve things. You just need to know why you deserve. So, and it's kind of been on an up and down thing. My older ones kind of trickling down now. So I think that's the thing about parenting. You don't get it right at the beginning, but you start to figure it out along the way. So
that's why I feel for our fellow older children.
Yeah.
We're the guinea pigs.
Yeah. Listen, that somebody got to be the sheep, right? Like you got to be the first to go so mom and dad
run.
Can figure it in a trial run. So mom and dad can figure it out.
That's okay. You know? Like we.
Hey.
But, shapes us in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise done so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're able to kind of set the stage now for when you have kids of your own. And I think that's something that kind of repeats itself as well. Because now, hey, even though you went through that because you were the oldest, now, hey, you can kind of maneuver and make less mistakes, but I think it's still the same notion of when you have kids of your own. Now, if you got an oldest, hey, they're gonna be the one to get it all, and you know when you mess up, and okay, well the ones after them, I can get it right now.
It makes me more aware of what it's like to be an older sibling. Like with my oldest, it makes me more aware of like, careful. You're doing what parents do with the oldest. So, I know what that's like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, we got some pretty good topics. And I think that first one right there.
It's very divisive.
Ah,
it can be.
It can be. Because you see now a lot more people leaning towards one versus the other.
Mm-hmm.
So. And the topic that we're talking about is homeschool versus public school.
Which I think is great timing because this is around the time of year where parents are making that decision. Are we going to homeschool? Are we transitioning? And I think there's other types of school. We got charter school, Christian academies. We've got online education. We've got even homeschool looks different now, too. Sometimes you have them in pods, so to speak, where all the homeschooling kids gather together and they are learning together at the same time and their moms pitch. So it's a lot of options.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's more stay-at-home moms more now than ever.
Do you think so?
I think so. You don't?
No.
Why not?
No, this economy, it's very hard. I think there's more women that would like to be stay-at-home. If they're at home, they're definitely doing something on the side or working.
That's what I'm talking about. There's more stay-at-home moms now that are online business owners or, you know, just doing different things rather than, hey, I work a traditional 9-to-5. No, I'm at home. I homeschool my kids and then I do my business, you know, on the side.
Okay, so we're not, okay. Okay. See, I'm thinking stay-at-home mom is a mom that the sole job is I'm saying I'm going to take care of a homemaker. take care of the kids, take care of the home.
That was way less of those.
Because that's what I'm thinking. Because if you're at home and you got a business, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
That happens to also, you know.
It's more, I guess, entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay at home moms that work side businesses or online, you know, whatever they do. But they're doing more homeschooling. Public school, I think, has changed throughout the years. And it could be for a number of reasons. I don't want to get into, you know, why those reasons are. You know, I think they could pay teachers more. I think, you know, it could just, the curriculum could be better. I mean, it's a bunch of different things that you
complicated
attest to,
yeah,
to make public school better. But, I mean, with homeschool, and I'm not too familiar with homeschool or the curriculum for homeschool, but I mean, do you know how does that even work?
I homeschooled for a couple of years.
Like,
while working full time. Insane. Come think of it.
Hey, shout out to the moms who do that.
Yeah.
So what's the curriculum for a child being homeschooled?
It's very vast. You can do online programs. You can buy the curriculum. Remember at the time I had an online thing for them via a company called Time for Learning or something like that. Virginia makes it really, that's a state owner. Makes it really easy for very supportive of homeschoolers. And, you know, you just submit your data at the end of the year. This is how they did. This is their grades. Because I went the easy route because I was working full time. I was like, give me an online program that also puts together a report card for them for me to submit to the state. But some parents are like, no, I'm going to put together the curriculum. It depends how involved you really want me. But I did it because I have a passion for criminal justice and in studying how some schools are designed to look like correctionals. Really, the behind the scenes, either we're going to feed the workforce or we're going to feed the prisons. And when I found out that that's the design behind it all, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Go a different way.
Yeah. Wait a minute, because entrepreneurship is not on there. That's now you're prepping kids to feed your two workforces, because prisons have become a workforce. If y'all know that. I didn't feel comfortable with it, and so I homeschooled, and then I supplemented, you know, during time off and the weekends. Like, let's talk about what we learned. Also, still had to make sure that the curriculum was to par, especially in matters of history. Like, let's talk about them. Let's have that conversation. It was very hands-on at the same time. But it got to a point where I just could no longer do that as the sole parent with no co-parent. And they were like,
the homeschooling?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, because it's very hard. Like, I'm trying to do everything, but the reality is I can't. So, and then they expressed they really wanted to go back to school. So they went back to school. Here we are.
So, how long was that period of time that you were doing homeschooling?
That's almost 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. So, when COVID happened, I was working from home full time and they were doing homeschooling. So, as everybody's, you know, freaking out because, oh, we can't go to school
outside at all.
I'm like, I mean, we were going through our own, because that was really at the cusp of us just being in a lot of danger. But in terms of schooling and work, it didn't phase us. That's the norm for us.
Right.
Do everything from computer.
Right. Yeah, like I said, I don't know much about it. I mean, I've heard different people say that they were doing homeschool, and you know, I've always just kind of wondered, like, what was the curriculum that they studied, and how did they just kind of go about that? And I'm sure it's kind of very similar to, you know, being in public school. I mean, if you had a choice today, what would you rather?
I think I would send them to a private school.
Private school?
Yeah. And even then I would have to figure out, because there are some that are agnostic. There are some that, and then there are Christian academies, but it's like, just because you're a Christian academy does not mean you're prepping my kid for the real world. Are you teaching them STEM? Are you teaching them AI? Are you, you know, it's a lot of questions that I have. But I feel like with public school so far, it's prepping them for the reality of the world, where everything is metrics based, it's testing based, because when you enter the workforce, that's what it's going to look like. So, and we have these conversations here. Sometimes they'll say things like, "Oh, we're going to the correctional facility today." Same thing. They know. We've talked about, the school to prison pipeline. We have those conversations at home, so we know. They know.
I think that's important. Definitely good conversations to have. It kind of goes back to talking about earlier about performance based. Think that's what a lot of schools teach. Very, very performance based
Yeah, the pressure from the
attributes.
state.
And I don't think grades really have the importance as they once. I just don't. Me personally, I don't think grades have that high importance. Because I've seen where kids will look. I can get by with a D. That's still passing. It isn't passing at high performance, but it's still passing.
Yeah.
So hey, as long as I pass,
And even if you want to go to college, there will colleges that will accept you with
right.
a raggedy GPA.
Man, listen. So, I think, just to kind of get back to a place where the statistics of public school make a difference, man, you gotta start really focusing in on, hey, one, what are they retaining? Not what are they learning, but what are they retaining?
Yeah.
Because giving them information doesn't mean anything if they're not equipping themselves with it to go out and do something with it.
Yeah.
So I think you've gotten away with that. I mean, away from that with public school. And like I said, grades aren't as important as they once were to where, hey, because I know when I was in, I was worried about my GPA because I knew it affected what I wanted to do next,
Yeah.
where I wanted to go. So nowadays it's not that big of a deal. And again, just talking to a lot of high school kids, because with the work that I do, I'm around them, a good majority of the day. They don't look at that as of any significance. They're like, hey, look, I'm just trying to pass this class. And if I get a D, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So where do you feel like parents can really maybe intervene and kind of bring that back? Because hey, schools is one side of it,
Yeah.
but hey, when the kids are home, the parents is another side. Because if I'm like pushing, not even really pushing, but imposing that, hey, look, there's an importance in how you approach school and how you look at it. You may not like to go every day, I get it, but you don't really have a choice.
Right.
So
It's been a little tricky to navigate this one with my own because they have, I guess that's what I get for having these conversations with them. Now they have opinions about, like, oh, yeah, they're just doing this so we can pass the
it's always good when a
SOL.
kid have an opinion.
Yeah, which I love because it's not in a disrespectful manner. They're not being defiant. They're just saying, you know what? I see that. Okay, and now I see that they're just teaching this to only to get us to pass the SOL, not because they genuinely are equipping us for the future. So it's really pushed them to try to map out their future. And if you know my kids, you see that they are kids who, this is what I want to do. This is what I kind of see for my life. They're mapping out and envisioning a future for themselves. Now, I've had to let them fail, and it's been hard because I can be on top of you. You got to study, you got to da 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 da. But I want you to own your development. That is a skill you need to have for the rest of your life. I have to own my own development. So once they see themselves fail, it's like, oh, snap. I want to get onto this program. I want to go to this college. They get serious about it. They don't agree with this, the way the system is set up, but they know they gotta essentially play the system in order to get them where they need to go. but they had to get there.
You know, that's one thing I respect about this generation of teens. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, hey, they don't respect the system. It's not in a defiant manner mm-hmm. that they don't respect the system, but they're able to kind of internalize that, hey, it's not really equipped or they're not doing us the best justice oh. with the system. So for that reason, hey, yeah, I'm kind of rebellious to the system.
In a way, yeah. Like, I don't know. I know I acknowledge you. I know you're there.
Right.
I don't agree with it.
Exactly.
I don't think I need to go the route that you're telling me to go.
I can go another route.
Fine. Get you there know what? Here. But I'll play by these rules because it's going to, like, they can map it out. Versus, I feel like our generation was, oh, we have to go to college and we have to do this. And then we'll be like, we just, millennials, like, we just
fall in line. Just fall in line.
We fell in line and no, they're like, okay, I see your system. I see the rules you're telling me. And they act accordingly. And it's a beautiful sight to see.
No, I definitely respect it. I definitely respect it. And a lot of them are very, very vocal about it as well. So, hey, definitely express your opinions. And if you don't, if something doesn't sit well with you, and I tell my kids this all the time, hey, look, voice your concern. You can do it in a respectful manner.
Yes.
Right? And then
that's
you can,
the key right there.
Yeah, do it in a respectful manner. But you never know what ears that can land on to say, hey, you know what? I'm glad they're seeing this. Okay, as parents, let's do something about it.
Yeah. Then sometimes you just gotta get through it. And it is what it is. You can't change an entire system all on your own either. So
it's gonna take
pick your battles.
You got to.
Like, we're not gonna be fighting over clear backpacks and like they know the Fourth Amendment does not apply to them in a school and yeah. I mean, they're aware of all of that.
Those emails are crazy. Clear backpacks.
I think that's where they're like, here we go. We're going into the correction facility.
Yeah. But you know, it's also crazy to know that the increase of issues that are coming within those walls.
Yes.
Of kids coming to school doing stuff that you know is either going to land you in jail or somebody's going to end up hurt.
Yeah.
So to have the mentality to even want to engage in something like that is, man, that's a whole nother conversation because, you know, we're getting into the mental health piece.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, to know that, hey, look, there's not even a safe space for me to be able to go and learn. Man.
And it doesn't matter how little they are, decides to work at a place where it felt weird having to check the baby's backpacks and pat them down. Like, it's just, it's wild. And put them through the metal detector. But it's, you'd be surprised what they...
We heard about that shooting that happened at that school in Newport News.
Yeah.
That was actually right down the street from my mom's house, too. So it was a lot of chaos that day when that took place. I also remember another situation that I went to speak at a elementary school. Mm-hmm. And there was a young man there. I don't even remember how old he was. It may have been 7 or 8. But in the time that... Because I did like a huddle, you know what I'm saying? So I had everybody kind of sit in a circle and we were just kind of going from one kid to the next and they were kind of telling me about themselves. And I spoke to this young man and in the midst of our conversation, he was talking about how he had spent some time, I guess, with an older cousin or some family member. And in doing so, spending time there, he had found a gun and he was, you know, he was holding it and he was, and I'm like,
you're curious.
Dude, you're like 6.
So you're curious.
Yeah. So, but to know that these things are so accessible and stuff that's going on in the culture, and these kids have access to it, and they think that, hey, look, I glamorize this, or it's cool to do, or I see people in the neighborhood do these things, and now they want to do it. It's just like, man, we've lost touch with a sense of reality. Because,
Yeah.
at one point, as a community, we had a finger on the pulse. Like if things were going or shifting too much to one side, like, all right, together we
Yeah,
gotta come,
village, yeah.
right? We gotta get it back on track. Now it's just like everybody's like,
Doing their thing,
that ain't my problem.
tired half the time to even, have eyes on things.
It's crazy.
Just drop the ball.
It's crazy. It's
It's
crazy.
like they're losing their innocence earlier and earlier.
You brought up something though. It's kind of leads into
Well, segue.
this next question here,
Yeah.
right? Is mom tired different than any other tired?
Is that a dad tired or like?
Well, I mean, we're gonna get the dad tired, but ladies first, ladies first. So I figured I'd ask you, mom tired?
Is it?
Because when mom says she's tired, like, is that different?
I'm big on language, like it's, of course it's different. It's a different role, it's a different responsibility, but is it more tired? I don't know. I think it's
Because,
different.
I mean, so let's go back to when you were homeschooling plus working.
We can't compare to that setup.
Is that not a, is that not, you're not tired?
Yeah, I was tired, but that was a whole different setup.
In what reference?
I was married to a human who literally would lounge all day and would refuse to help in any way financially or in the household. I literally carried the whole household by myself.
Okay.
So the homeschooling, clean, the cooking, the everything. So it's a different setup. Of course I was tired. Emotionally too. But is it different? I think so. I think too is that as women we're constantly running a to-do list in our minds too. There's a mental component. We don't shut it down. It's a running list.
I look at this question really re made me revert back to watching my mom as she took care of me and my sister. Again, my older brother, he was off in college, so he was kind of out of the house. But watching my mom take care of me and my sister, watching her go to school and work, all the things that she was able to accomplish in that setting. Was she tired? I'm pretty
Sure,
sure
she
she was.
was.
I'm pretty sure she was. But she never gave notion to being tired. Now, there were probably some nights where she might have sat in the room and cried or prayed or whatever the case may be. Just expressing how tired she was. But I do think there is a different tired. As opposed to some people say, hey man, I'm tired. But you look at the framework of their life and like, well, you haven't done much. Yeah, you might just be tired, like physically, right? But I think there's different tiers of being tired, mentally, physically,
Yeah.
emotionally. And I think those are some of the kind of things that you just named a few minutes ago. I think for moms, and to me the difference is single mom versus if you're married or you got a spouse or whatever the case may be. I think there's a difference in that because single mom, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're tired, but I mean,
It becomes a norm.
it becomes the norm.
Like,
Because
this is
what
what
else
it
you gonna
is.
do?
Yeah, it is what it is. It's the norm.
I think dads equally, the amount of things a father carries, not so much of just the house, but of the world. Because there's so much coming at us on a daily basis that, we're responsible for, or we're fighting for, or, we have to address. So again, that there's a different tier of tiredness on that end as well.
Yeah.
And listen, I've experienced a lot of it.
It's a different level of pressure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even that you get tired of. You just get tired of the force that's weighing down on you. But again, it's almost like, well, you got to pick your battle,
Yeah.
right? Like, I have these things because I've been entrusted with these things because, hey, I feel that you're strong enough to carry these. And, even though you get tired, there's always something that you can look forward to on the horizon.
Yeah, just pick your tire essentially, and it just becomes the it is what it is.
Right.
So you just do the thing. I mean, you can. There's a time and a place, because the Sabbath is a gift. There's a time and a place to really slow it down, enjoy your family, have a slow morning, et cetera, et cetera. But you just keep it moving and try to take care of yourself along the way as best as you can.
The thing about that is, some people don't get to that point.
Meaning.
Meaning they don't take the time to enjoy themselves because they're
I've been that girl.
just run of the mill, right? Always on the go. Oh, I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta go here. I gotta be here. So they never get that time to really just kind of slow down, take care of themselves, or enjoy that moment for what it is. And so much of that is where you kind of lose yourself, which why I think it becomes the norm. Because now I've totally just lost myself in all this because even though I'm tired, I don't know how to stop.
No, it's hard. Tell you what happened to me. I would say March-ish. I don't know. The months are flying by here.
Very much so.
I
Excuse
began
me. Very much
to. It might have been like episode two. I know we were at the very beginning of the show. I think I remember asking you like, I mentioned something like, I feel like certain things are manifesting physically on my end or whatever. I was starting to have chest pains. It was around the time my dad was having, he had his heart surgery. So not that long ago. So I'm scared because I'm like, oh, snap. Is this running in the family? Yeah. I felt like I was having a full-blown heart attack. And then I started freaking out for the kids because they have this concern of, they always say it, stay alive. You're the only parent. So now it's like,
Wow.
yeah, like if I go out or whatever, all right, don't die out there. You're the only parent.
That's crazy. Hey,
Raise.
where you going?
Stay
Don't
alive.
die.
They say that
That's
all
crazy.
the time. Yeah, I know. So I'm freaking out not because I'm scared anything's wrong. It's more like I gotta stay alive with the kids. Even though there's a contingency plan, that's not, I need to stay alive for them. So I went, I feel like I was having a heart attack. They thought I was having a heart attack. Next thing you know is, ma'am, you have worn yourself out. Your body is stressed out. Cortisol levels through the roof. And now your thyroid is shot. So it forced me in a way to stop. I still have to be me. I'm still going to work and do what I can. But I have to be intentional and say, you know what? This particular day is the Sabbath. What that means is I'm spending time with the kids, I'm catching up with a friend, whatever it is, as hard as it is, do not work on any projects. And for me, it's never going to be a Sunday because us church folks are like, it's the Lord's day, it's the day of rest. If you serve a ministry, that's not your rest day. That's not your rest day. But the body forces you to sit down somewhere.
Better.
And then when they tell you, yeah, you just gotta reduce stress. You almost wanna laugh like
You know what my life is like? Do you know what I go through every
Yeah.
day?
So for me, I took a backseat and assessed what is important. I'm dedicating my time to this, the kids, the work, or whatever. I've had to say no to a lot of ministry stuff, and that's okay. I just have to not feel guilty about it because it is what it is. It's only one of me.
That's it. That is it. And I want to be here as long as humanly possible.
Yes.
Yes. So definitely take care of yourself if you are a parent. You have kids because you want them to do the same. You want
Absolutely.
them to take care of themselves and not exhaust themselves or feel like, hey, look, I gotta do it all.
You don't.
It's only one of you.
Yeah, and for reading assignment, read you the story of when Moses was exhausted. His father-in-law had to call him out and say, "Hey, you got to delegate. You can't carry everything on your own." And when Elijah had to take a big old nap after killing 400 plus people, and the holiest thing he could have done was take a nap, eat, nap again. And the word says, otherwise, you're not going to be able to handle what's ahead. So take a nap.
Absolutely.
I think you said
Absolutely.
this year you were going to take more naps.
I did. And
How's that going? No.
maybe next year. Maybe next year. Yeah. Not getting as many naps as I would like to. Still working on getting to bed on time.
That one's hard.
Listen. Oh my goodness. That one right there.
Why is that hard for you?
Because it's one, it's hard to shut my brain off. I'm always in idea mode, right? I'm always having new ideas. I'm always working on a project or figuring something out or learning something,
Yeah.
or I'm just always on the hunt.
I get
So it's
that.
kind of hard to turn that off, to really sit down, relax, and say, okay, well, I'm just gonna, chill, put my feet up and, take a nap or go to bed.
What's hard about that? The excitement
Yeah.
of like, oh, I thought of that. Now you really want to work to it and research and
Soon as that
so
idea hits, you're like,
exciting.
oh, wait a minute,
Yes.
yes. And then you look at the clock, it's midnight. I'm like, what? Last night, I went to bed like 2:30. I was back up
Creative.
at 6.
Say.
So, just always on the hunt, always on the hunt. But definitely get more rest because, it's very pivotal to your health. And
Stay alive.
please don't die. Don't die. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man. So another question up here I want to ask. What's your biggest parenting pet peeve? Biggest parenting pet peeve?
Like with my own kids and
Just in general.
I think on that one. Because I have pet peeves in general. Pet peeves in general. I hate tardiness and lack of preparation. I'm an over-prepared. I think it's entitlement in a way and lack of service. Because I told you last week, you were talking about allowance. So you don't do something because now you gotta get paid for it. First out of service and love for one another. I don't know. I think they're just general pet peeves. They're not specific to parenting. Other than don't touch my stuff. I mean,
That might be a big
don't touch
one.
my stuff.
That might be a big
What about you?
Or drink my stuff. It's in the refrigerator. You know it's not yours. Drink my stuff.
It's the funniest thing to watch in this house.
Listen.
They have rules around if you have leftovers, if you have a snack, and it's been 48 hours. Like they have this whole.
Oh, mom, I want that. No, actually, I do. So please
Like you
let
ate
it
my
sit there
pizza
as
before.
long as I want it to sit there.
Yeah. You ate my pizza. It hadn't even hit the 24-hour mark. What?
Crazy. Crazy.
How about you? The juice?
I mean that's a concern. I won't say it's a big pet peeve for me. When it comes to parenting pet peeves, because I'm such a like OCD-ish, like my pet peeve is leaving stuff where you found, like you didn't find your shoes right there, why'd you leave them?
Yeah,
Or
putting stuff back.
yeah, putting your stuff back or cleaning up after yourself.
It's a big one.
Very,
But is that
because
specific to parenting, or is that an overall pet peeve?
well, so in reference to parenting, I'm really referencing my kids. So when they do that stuff, and then I come behind, I'm like, why? You know I'm gonna say something about it. Why didn't you see that before I saw it?
They're not thinking in the moment.
Never. They're never thinking in the moment. But
I thought of one. Fessing up and not lying about it. Because the punishment or the consequence will be worse if you lied about it. We could deal with the hiccup and the mess up. You lied to me about it?
so is that the pet peeve, the
Oh,
lion?
yes.
Okay.
Or not fessing up, or let's add lying slash fessing up slash accountability.
How long has one of your kids went with the lie? Like how long have they kept it going before they was like, all right, look, boy, you got it. You know what? I did it.
Not the lie, because then the workaround is I'm going to omit as long as possible. I will keep this from you as long as I can so I don't have to lie.
Okay.
So it's like, you're looking into loopholes. I get it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so
That's actually pretty creative
yeah.
that to keep that going for that, because there's a lot of strategic thinking in that.
Yes. Which, like, you almost can't be mad.
You can't. You can't. Because I'm like, yo, like, wait a minute. Because you don't know how I'm gonna respond. You don't know what I'm gonna action. You don't know how this is gonna play out.
Right.
So the fact that you have thought about all the alternatives.
Okay, I don't want to lie to you, so I'm going to omit that. As long as I'm going to keep this from you as long as I can, and we'll deal with it when you happen to find out, or when I feel like I'm prepared to tell you about
I
it.
just can't go anymore. Like I've hit a stone wall. I can't keep this anymore.
Yeah.
'Cause look, you're gonna find out. So let me just go and tell you.
A lot of it I get. They sometimes need their time to process whatever it is they're trying to, shield me from, shield themselves from before telling me. But that's my pet peeve. Don't lie to me. If we're gonna face something together and I'm going to advocate for you or guide you, I need to know the whole truth. It doesn't matter how hard it is. Tell me what's up.
Another pet peeve for me would probably be playing both sides. Right? Like, call my ex dad. But if he say no, I'm just gonna go ask mom.
That's just disrespectful.
Cause I know I can warm up to her a little bit and she's gonna let me have it. Or she's gonna let me go or whatever. So playing both sides, that's a big pet peeve for me also. 'Cause I'm like, yo, we're supposed to be in this together here. Like, why do you think they came and asked you? Hey, did you ask your dad? Well, what did he say? You know? Okay, well, if he said no, then ask no. So, let me see. 'Cause I mean that. Listen, I'm sure if you're a parent and you're watching this, you have quite a few pet
Yeah,
peeves.
in the comments, let us know
Listen, please
some
let
of
us know.
yours.
Please let us know. I'm gonna tell you another one too. And this is like a public pet peeve. When I like you say that.
It's because I thought of one. When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Listen, it's a public pet peeve, right? Like when you're out and you see another parent's kids acting in a manner that look, the way that you close your eyes and just shook your head lets me know that you know exactly what I'm saying here. So when you're out and you see another parent and their kid is giving them the business. Like, you like, there is no way that I would even, I would.
Do you take the moment to be like, don't you ever,
Listen.
you see that?
And you ain't even gotta say, you just give them the look like, yeah, we ain't doing that. And in your mind, you wanna go over there and help the parent. You're
Yeah.
like, hey, you know what? Stand to the side. Let me get this. Let me take care of this. 'Cause look at here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
that
then
ain't gonna
like,
happen.
what are you
Not in
doing?
public.
Like, what are you doing?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Definitely a pet peeve. 'Cause I'm like, look, 'cause the way I look at that is, we're all parents. So the embarrassment is on all of us, not
Like
just on
second,
you.
who calls it secondhand embarrassment to
Secondhand
your parents?
embarrassment. Somebody need to hear that.
Yeah.
Secondhand embarrassment. Listen, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. So yeah, that's definitely a big pet peeve for me. I tell you, it's real. It's real in these parenting streets.
And that's rather embarrassing. And
Mm-hmm.
you know the parents feeling it. It's just awkward.
Yeah. Somebody right now watching this is just shaking their head. Like, yeah,
They're
that
embarrassed
was
just
me.
thinking about
That
stuff.
was me.
Yeah.
That was me. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Definitely, some good stuff talked about here. Great show. You know, wrapped up another episode for you guys. It's episode 11 here at the Parenting Next Gen show. You know what we're doing, right? Helping you build that relationship or strengthen your confidence.
One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time. I'm Andre,
And I'm Noed.
and this has been another great talk.
Sure
How'd you
has.
feel about this?
Oh, good. But I hope I understood, your points on certain things, and I hope the viewers can relate to this as well. And because listen, we don't have the answers. This is just us trying to talk through things and just trying to understand one another. Because listen, dads think differently, moms think differently. Each human thinks very differently. Just assess accordingly with what works with your family and pray about it. Listen, God knows the story He's written for your child. Ask the Lord, how do you want me to raise this one?
Absolutely.
He'll guide you.
I think more parents need to really come together and sit down and have these type of conversations. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about how they start to build community by doing like meetups.
Like what kind of meetups?
Well, they were in the real estate space, so it was like, you know, instead of me kind of just talking to my friends, and they weren't really in real estate, or they weren't even looking to, you know, get into the business at all. It's like I wanted to just get around some like-minded people. So he started just doing meetups in his local area. And that kind of grew into something where, you know, he started meeting a lot of people in the real estate space that were interested in the things he was interested in. So, you know, just kind of, we were talking about that in the conversation, and it's like, man, that's not a bad idea, you know, to maybe have meetups with parents. To just kind of talk about some of these conversations and see, hey, what are you guys going
Yeah.
through? Right? What are you guys dealing with? What is it that you need to talk about that you aren't talking about? Right? And are these conversations really helping? Because again, that's the way that we re really strengthen this and be able to bring you more value. Just knowing, hey, where you guys are and how can we assist and add more value to you.
Oops. Absolutely. And being able to share the wisdom,
Absolutely.
the space to talk.
So again, man, we appreciate y'all for joining us. So happy to have you here with us, sharing this space with us. You know, we do this every week, you know, dropping new episodes for you guys. So make sure you like, share,
Subscribe.
subscribe to the channel. We definitely love to have you. And also, if you got any topics you'd like to hear discussed here on the channel, please let
Let's
us know.
talk.
Drop it in the comments. And follow us on socials as well, right? Parenting Next Gen. You can definitely follow us on all platforms. So love to see you. We love to speak with you. Until the next time. off.